الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. يسر إخوانكم في موقع دار الحديث بالشحر أن يقدموا لكم هذه المادة لفضيلة الشيخ أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر بن مرعي بن بريك حفظه الله تعالى. والآن مع المادة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، درسنا اليوم هو في تفسير سورة النصر، وكالعادة نقرأ السورة ثم نقف وقفات يسيرة في أهم ما يتعلق بتفسيرها. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. هذه سورة أخرى من سور قصار المفصل، وقد أشار شيخنا الإمام العلامة عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله إلى أهمية الاعتناء بها لتعلمها قراءة وتلاوة وحفظا وتصحيحا للنطق فيها، فيعتني المدرس بتكرارها وتلقين الطلاب، والمدرسة كذلك بتلقين الطالبات هذه السورة ومراقبة تصحيح النطق في الأحرف التي يكثر فيها الخطأ، والتنبيه على مواضع الوقف والمدود ونحو ذلك. ثم يشرع بعد ذلك في الكلام على شيء من تفسيرها. أولا، ينبغي أن نعلم أن هذه السورة من السور العظيمة التي جاء في فضلها الشيء الكثير. أقول هذه السورة هي من السور التي جاء فيها شيء من الفضائل، فمن فضلها أنها من آخر ما نزل من القرآن، وقيل كما ذكر بعض أهل التفسير أنها كذلك مما قيل فيها أنها تعدل ربع القرآن. وجاء في حديث عبد الله بن عباس في صحيح مسلم أنها من آخر ما نزل من سور القرآن، ومعناه كسورة كاملة، وليس هو آخر ما نزل على الإطلاق، لكن كسورة كاملة نزلت على النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كانت هذه السورة. وهذا يدلنا على أهمية الاعتناء بها كاملة، لأن معناها مرتبط بعضه ببعض، وقد جاء في حديث ابن عباس في الصحيح، وهكذا كذلك معناه في قصة فاطمة رضي الله عنها أن هذه السورة جاءت نعيا للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، يعني أنها تبلغ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قد أكمل رسالته وأتم الله عز وجل دينه، فأمر ربنا جل وعلا نبيه عليه الصلاة والسلام أن يسبح بحمد ربه ويستغفره. ولهذا جاء في حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها في الصحيح أنه كان صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم يتأول هذه السورة فيقول في ركوعه وسجوده: سبحانك اللهم ربي، سبحانك ربنا اللهم اغفر لي، يعني امتثل أمر الله عز وجل له بالتسبيح فسبحه، والاستغفار فاستغفره. وهذا معنى قولها رضي الله عنها أنه كان يتأول القرآن، تريد أنه يطبق ما أمر به في تفسير هذه السورة. ففيها بشارة بنصر الله عز وجل وتمام دينه وإنهاء ما أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بتبليغه. ولهذا جاء عن ابن عباس وغيره في قصة عمر رضي الله عنه حين سأل ابن عباس وفي القوم مجموعة من كبار الصحابة، فأجاب عبد الله بن عباس في تفسيرها أنها نعي للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، يعني إخبار بقرب وفاته عليه الصلاة والسلام لانتهاء مهمته التي أرسله الله سبحانه وتعالى بها. ترجم هذا أخونا أبو حذيفة ثم نكمل إن شاء الله.
شيخ أبو عبد الرحمن عبد الله ابن عمر العدني حفظه الله تعالى started his lesson by saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The voice still very weak, huh?
Yes. Very weak.
يقول الصوت ما زال ضعيفا. Is it better now? سبحان الله عجيب. طيب I'll try and speak louder. وياك. So Shaykh started his lesson saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to make Salah and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Then today we are going to start inshallah the explanation, the tafsir of Surah An-Nasr. And as usual, Shaykh Abdullah has read out the surah in Arabic, and I shall read it out in English as it is mentioned in the translation of the meanings of the Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When there comes the help of Allah, and that you see the people enter, you see the people enter into Allah's religion in crowds, so glorify the praises of your Lord and ask Him and ask His forgiveness. Verily, He is the one who ever accepts the repentance and who forgives. Then Shaykh Abdullah said that this surah is from amongst the short surahs of the Quran, that the author of the book, Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned that we need to pay a special care to those surahs as far as learning them is concerned, memorizing them, reciting them, and explaining them. And so it is upon the teachers, male and female, in the masajid to pay great importance to the pronunciation of this surah, teaching the people how to pronunciate and read this surah out properly, and correcting whatever mistakes are made by the students in the pronunciation. Now, as far as the tafsir is concerned, first of all, it is upon us to know that this is a surah of great importance. And there is a number of virtues that have been mentioned concerning this surah. First of all, it has been mentioned that this surah is the last surah which came down upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the sense that as an entire surah. After this surah was revelated, other verses of the Quran came down on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not as an entire surah, just verses from different surahs. Then it has also been mentioned by some of the people of tafsir that this surah equals the fourth of the Quran. And it has been reported in the Sahih from Abdullah ibn Abbas that this is the last surah which descended completely, yani from beginning to end at once, on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although, as we mentioned, other ayat came down after that. And it has also been reported in a Sahih from Abdullah ibn Abbas that this surah came to inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his message had been completed, and that he had completed the spreading or the giving over of this message to the people, and that Allah had completed the religion through him. And so Allah ordered his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make tasbih, saying subhanallah wa bihamdihi, make tasbih and hamd. Tasbih is what we translate as being glorification, and hamd is what we translate as being praise. And so it has been reported from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after this surah came down, used to say in every ruku' and in every sujood, Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdika Allahumma ighfir li. Yani, glory be to you Allahumma, our Lord, and the praise be to you, or with praise, Allahumma forgive me. So this was the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put into practice this order that Allah had sent down upon him. And in this surah there are the glad tidings of Allah saving his Prophet. Rashid?
No.
Naam. Everything all right?
The conference is now starting. All attendees can now hear you.
Rashid? Naam, طيب. So we see that this was how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put into practice this order that Allah had sent down upon him. And it was also authentically reported that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu had brought Abdullah ibn Abbas into a sitting of some of the major sahaba, from the oldest of the sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he asked Abdullah ibn Abbas about the meaning of this surah. And Abdullah ibn Abbas explained that it was Allah informing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his term had arrived. يعني أنه قرب أجله أقول أنه موته. نعم. The meaning that his term had arrived, meaning that he was going to die soon. تفضل يا شيخنا.
بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا. يعني إذا جاء نصر الله بتمكين هذا الدين وغلبة أهله وانتشار أمره، ومن ذلك أن تفتح البلدان الكثيرة التي لم تفتح من قبل، ومن أعظمها مكة، وقد اختلف أهل العلم هل المراد بالفتح هو فتح مكة أم أنه صلح الحديبية، والصحيح أنه في هذه السورة كلاهما. وكله من علامات النصر، وقد حصل فتح عظيم بصلح الحديبية، وأعظم منه كذلك بفتح مكة وأمر ربنا جل وعلا إذا جاء هذا النصر وهذا الفتح ويرى الناس جميعا وهم يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا، أي جماعات كثيرة، وهذا من تأكيد حصول النصر والفتح. فسبح بحمد ربك، أمر نبيه عليه الصلاة والسلام بالتسبيح شكرا لله عز وجل على ما يسره من هذا الخير وهذا النصر وهذا الفتح. ودخول الناس في دين الله عز وجل أفواجا، ثم أخبر في آخر السورة بشيء من وصفه العظيم سبحانه: إنه كان توابا. والقاعدة عند أهل العربية أن زيادة المبنى تدل على زيادة المعنى، فالتواب هو من يكثر التوبة على عباده سبحانه وتعالى، والمعنى أكثر من التوبة يتوب الله عز وجل عليكم. والخطاب للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وهو لمن دونه من باب أولى، فافتقار الناس إلى حمد الله عز وجل وشكره على نعمه، وعلى هذه النعمة على وجه الخصوص، أعظم من افتقار النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. قلنا افتقار الناس في شكر الله عز وجل على هذه النعمة، على نعمه عموما وهذه النعمة على وجه الخصوص، أعظم من افتقار النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. فلذلك قلنا أنهم يدخلون في هذا الأمر من باب أولى. وهكذا كذلك افتقار الناس للتوبة التي تحسن به خاتمة هذا الإنسان، فما من إنسان إلا وفي حياته ما قد يقع من التقصير ويجبر ذلك التوبة إلى الله عز وجل. فإذا كان كذلك صار الناس جميعا يدخلون في هذا الأمر من باب أولى. فليس هو خطاب للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام خاصة، ولا ينافي هذا التفسير لألفاظ هذه السورة ما سبق من أن فيها نعي للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، أي إخبار بقرب أجله ووفاته عليه الصلاة والسلام، لأن هذا يعلم بالتأمل والتدبر. وجمع الأدلة بعضها مع بعض، فإن الله عز وجل إنما بعث رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بشيرا ونذيرا، فإذا تمت البشارة والنذارة فقد حصل إكمال ما أرسل به، فكان في ذلك ما سمعنا. ولهذا ذكر بعض العلماء أن هذه السورة فيها دروس وفوائد عظيمة، من أبرزها وأهمها هذه الفائدة، وهي أن العالم وطالب العلم وحامله ينبغي عليه ألا يقف عند اللفظ، والمعنى المحتف به، والمعنى المحتف به يعني المعنى المقترن بهذا اللفظ الذي يظهر منه معنى الألفاظ فقط، بل لابد أن يتأمل معه شيء آخر. ينضاف معه مفهوم جديد، أو قل زيادة معنى بالنظر إلى قرائن أخرى. مثلا مناسبة نزولها في هذا الوقت، يعني في أواخر الرسالة، وكون أنها جاءت بالإخبار عن هذا المعنى وهو النصر والفتح ودخول الناس في دين الله، مع قرينة أخرى وهي حقيقة الرسالة التي بعث بها النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. فأنت تجمع مع ذاك اللفظ ومعناه الظاهر الواضح معنى آخر استفدته من القرائن المحتفة بهذا النص، فكان فيه استنباط لشيء دقيق يدل على دقة في العلم. ولهذا استعمل عمر رضي الله عنه الخليفة الراشد هذا المقام ليثبت للمشايخ الذين كانوا يحضرون في مجلس عمر، وكان عمر رضي الله عنه يدخل معهم عبد الله بن عباس، فكأن بعضهم استصغره، فلما أراد أن يثبت لهم قوته العلمية سألها الحاضرين عن تفسير هذه السورة وما يعلمون من معناها، فأفادهم عبد الله بن عباس ما خفي عن الكثير منهم. أولا بما احتف من قرائن بالنص، وثانيا بما دلت عليه الأدلة بعموماتها، وثالثا ما علمه من أحاديث عنه عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه فسر السورة بهذا المعنى، كحديث فاطمة حين أسرها بالسر فبكت ثم أسرها الثانية فضحكت، وكحديث عائشة في قولها أنه كان يقول بعد نزول هذه السورة سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي، قالت يتأول القرآن. فهذا يدل على تأكيد وتصحيح هذا المعنى. وهنا يناسب أن نذكر تنبيه نتركه بعد أن يترجم أخونا أبو حذيفة هذا المقطع.
شيخ عبد الله حفظه الله تعالى says, now as far as the meaning of those ayat are concerned, when the rescue or the saving of Allah arrives in the victory, and that you see the people entering into the religion of Allah afwaja, meaning in great numbers, meaning when you see that Allah has grounded this religion, has put this religion firm in place upon earth, and that this religion is spreading, and this spreading is happening through what we say in Arabic, Fathul Buldan, يعني the opening of the different places, meaning that many places fall under the authority of the Muslims through conquest and other. And the greatest of those places that was conquested was Mecca. So all of this is meant by this first ayah. And Shaykh is mentioning that some of the ulama have disagreed upon, is the fath, the victory that is mentioned in this surah, is it the fath of Mecca and Sulh al-Hudaybiyah? Meaning the agreement that happened in al-Hudaybiyah before the victory of Mecca between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the people of Quraysh. And Shaykh Abdullah Hafidhahullah Ta'ala is saying that it is correct to say that both of these events enter into the meaning of this surah, because both of these events were a cause of the rescue of Islam, and they were from the signs of Allah's rescue coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. So Allah ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he sees this rescue coming and when he sees this victory and that the people enter into his religion, and the fact that people enter into religion is an emphasis on the fact that the rescue has come and the victory has happened. Allah orders the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he sees that, to make tasbih and hamd of his Lord, meaning, as we said, to glorify and praise his Lord, meaning that you should be grateful to Allah for what has happened from khair, from good, through this victory. And from this is the fact that many people enter into Islam. Then at the end of this ayah, Allah mentioned some of his attributes, where he says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Verily, he was tawwab. Tawwab is on the scale, as we say in English, al-wazn of fa'al. Tawwab fa'al. Meaning the shape of the word is built in the same way as the word fa'al. And this scale, this shape of the word in Arabic, has the meaning of kathra, meaning numerousness or quantity. And the origin of the word in Arabic of tawwab comes from tawba, repentance, meaning that he repents a lot, yani he accepts the tawba from his slaves and goes towards his slave in tawba, yani like we say in Arabic, the slave, he makes tawba ila Allah, towards Allah, and Allah makes tawba upon him. Yatubullahu alayh. Now, what is meant is that Allah is accepting the tawbah of his slaves. So, this is a way for us to understand the importance of making tawbah and constantly reminding ourselves of tawbah and making tawbah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this speech is directed in first place towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the reality, as Shaykh Abdullah is explaining, is that the people are even more in need to thank Allah for this ni'mah of Islam spreading and having entered into Islam than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The people are more in need to thank Allah for that than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also the people are more in need to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the need of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to do so. And the tawbah, this is through making tawbah, this is how you reach the good end in your life. Because the reality is that the human being falls short in his issues and in his matters. That's why constantly making tawbah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that Allah will make tawbah upon him and accept his tawbah, and he will in that way reach a good end. So here Shaykh is saying, so we understand that this meaning, which is mentioned in the ayah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam should make tasbih and hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness and make tawbah, that this is not specific for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, it is for the people in general. And what we have just mentioned from this tafsir does not go against what we have mentioned before. The fact that the meaning of this surah, or the sending down of this surah, was a way to inform the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the time of his death had come close. And this is understood by meditating upon the meaning of this surah, and by gathering the adilla, the proofs of the Quran and the sunnah, I mean the texts, and pondering and meditating upon them. Because verily, Allah has sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as somebody who gives glad tidings and somebody who warns. And so, when the warning and the giving of glad tidings had been completed, the message that he had been sent with was completed. And this is why we have met, yani, this is how we understand what we mentioned before, meaning praising Allah and asking for forgiveness. And this is why some of the ulama have said that we have great lessons to take from this surah. And from amongst those lessons is the fact that we have to put the things in their contexts. I mean the surahs of the Quran and the texts of the Quran and the sunnah, we have to put them in their context and meditate about this context that they came, that they happened, and in what context the Quran was revealed. Because by doing so, we will see beyond the simple meanings of the text in itself. And we will, through meditating about this, understand new meanings that are encompassed in this surah. And from that is what we have mentioned here. Meditate how Allah has mentioned the happening of, or the coming of the rescue of Allah, the Nasr, and the coming of the victory, Al-Fath. How Allah has used those things to inform the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of his death. And by meditating about the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah in this way, this is how the ulama managed to get a very precise understanding of the adilla, the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is why Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought Abdullah ibn Abbas with him into a sitting with the senior Sahaba. And when he brought Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was from amongst the very young Sahaba, when he brought him there, some of the senior Sahaba were belittling him and kind of disagreed that Umar would bring him into this sitting. So Umar asked them about the tafsir of this surah, and then he asked Abdullah ibn Abbas. And so Abdullah ibn Abbas informed the senior Sahaba about this matter which they had not understood from this surah. Meaning that Abdullah ibn Abbas is the one who informed them that this surah meant the fact that Allah is informing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of the closeness of his death. And how did Abdullah ibn Abbas understand this? First of all, as we mentioned, by meditating about the meanings of the text. And then also by looking at what happened around this. And from this is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, once this surah was revealed, he secretly said something to his daughter Fatima, and Fatima started crying. So he secretly said her something else, and so she started laughing. نعم هل أبين أن بكاء فاطمة كان بسبب أنه قال لها نعم. And why was Fatima crying after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this secret to her? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that he was going to die soon, and so she started crying. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said secretly something else to her, she started laughing. This is when he said to her that she would be the first person to join him, meaning to die after him. So she laughed because she knew that she would be with her father again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And another thing that happened is the fact that Aisha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put this surah into practice, or would put the order of this surah into practice, by saying in his ruku' and his sujood, Subhanakallahumma rabbana wa bihamdik, Allahumma ghfirli. So all of this is indicating this meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the end of his life. Tafaddal ya shaykhana.
والآن يأتي الكلام على التنبيه، وهو تنبيه مهم. فقد علمنا فيما سبق كيف ينبغي لطالب العلم ألا يقتصر على اللفظ وما معه من معنى، بل عليه أن يتابع القرائن والعمومات والأدلة الأخرى. ولكن هذا الباب الناس فيه طرفان ووسط، فإن من الناس من توسع في إدخال المعاني على الألفاظ حتى صارت الألفاظ تحمل معاني لا علاقة لها باللفظ، لا من جهة كون اللفظ يستصيغها أولا، ولا أن عمومات الأدلة تؤيدها ثانيا، ولا أن قرائن أخرى تدل على صحة معناها ثالثا. وقد علمنا فيما سبق كيف أن ابن عباس قال ما قال ووافقه عمر رضي الله عنه، وهكذا عائشة وفاطمة وجماعة من الصحابة، باعتمادهم على أمور، ومنها تلك الخصال الثلاث التي سبقت الإشارة إليها. أولها اللفظ، وكونه يتحمل هذا المعنى، وثانيها العمومات التي تؤيد هذا المعنى، وثالثها القرائن التي تؤكد هذا المعنى. أما التوسع في إدخال المعاني المتكلفة فهذه طريقة أهل الأهواء، سواء من الشيعة ومن سبقهم من الرافضة، أو المتصوفة، أو كذلك بعض العقلانيين من الفلاسفة ومن سلك نحو طريقتهم قديما وحديثا. ومن ذلك ذاك التفسير الذي يسمى بالتفسير الإشاري، كما نبه عليه العلماء في مباحث علوم القرآن، فهو يعتمد على هذه الطريقة الباطلة، ومنه مسلك بعض المعاصرين العقلانيين ولو كان بحسن نية، ولو كان بحسن نية فإن هذا التوسع والتكلف في إدخال المعاني على الألفاظ بغير الشروط الثلاثة المتقدمة طريقة باطلة، كطريقة الغماري ومن سلك مسلكه الذين أدخلوا المكتشفات العصرية والنظريات والعلوم الحديثة في ألفاظ القرآن، فزعموا أن الطائرة مذكورة بالاسم، وأن الدبابات مذكورة بالاسم، وأن الصواريخ مذكورة بالاسم، وهكذا يتكلفون أشياء لا يساعدهم اللفظ ولا يؤيدهم العموم، وليس لهم في ذلك قرينة، لا قريبة ولا بعيدة. لو قالوا دخل في عموم قوله ويخلق ما لا تعلمون لكان هذا كافي، لكن هذا التوسع هو طرف من الطرفين الباطلين في هذه القضية المهمة. والطرف الآخر من قد يصر في البقاء على ظاهر اللفظ دون النظر إلى ما يحتف به من معنى وتؤيده عمومات وتلحقه قرائن، فإنه قد يضطر إلى إنكار ما يضر بالدين، بدين نفسه ودين الناس. وقد مثل الشنقيطي رحمه الله تعالى لهذا المعنى بقول الله عز وجل والوالدات يرضعن أولادهن حولين كاملين. والوالدات يرضعن أولادهن حولين كاملين، مع قوله سبحانه وحمله وفصاله 30 شهرا، ذكر رحمه الله أن العلماء من الصحابة ومن بعدهم استفادوا من الجمع بين الآيتين أن أقل الحمل 6 أشهر، أن أقل الحمل 6 أشهر، ومن يعرض عن مثل هذا المعنى المحتف بالقرائن ويساعده اللفظ وتدل عليه العمومات يساعده اللفظ وتدل عليه العمومات قد يضل وهو لا يدري، وهذا هو الوسط في هذه القضية المهمة وربما نقول الخطيرة، فمن توسع أضر وخاطر، ومن ضيق هكذا ربما يضر ويخاطر. ونختصر نضيف 3 فوائد مستفادة نختم بها تفسير هذه السورة. من هذه الفوائد كذلك في هذه السورة استحباب حمد الله سبحانه وتعالى واستغفاره عند حلول النعم، وهذا معنى من معاني العبودية لله، وكما يكون بلسان المقال فكذلك ينبغي أن يكون بلسان الحال، ولهذا صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان من هديه إذا فتح الله عليه بلدة دخلها وهو مطأطئ، يعني بغير خيلاء كما فعل في عام الفتح، في فتح مكة عليه الصلاة والسلام، فتأمل هذا مع قول الله عز وجل ولا تفرح إنه لا يحب الفرحين، وقارنه بحال الكثيرين من الناس كيف أنهم يخرجون عن الأدب والتواضع فضلا من الوقوع في الحرام والتساهل في المنكرات بحجة الفرح. ومن الفوائد كذلك أن الإنسان ينبغي أن يتذكر؟ نقصه وتقصيره في مواضع النصر والبهجة والعزة حتى لا يدفعه ذلك إلى الكبر والخيلاء والتعالي على الخلق. فإن العبد ينظر إلى نفسه بنظرين، ينظر إلى تقصيره وتفريطه مع يسر ما أمر به، وينظر إلى كرم ربه سبحانه وتعالى وتفضله مع حصول التقصير من العبد، فهو يحلم بعبده سبحانه ولا يقطع عنه فضله، فيورثه ذلك تعظيما للرب سبحانه. وتأنيبا للنفس الأمارة بالسوء، وتأنيبا للنفس الأمارة بالسوء، يكون ذلك داعيا لاستقامته وحسن خاتمته. ثالثا، فيه من الفوائد استحباب تذكر خواتم الأعمال بالتوبة فإن ذلك من الخاتمة الحسنة، كما أن خاتمة التعب والنصب والجهاد الحسي والمعنوي والصبر الكثير، كما أن عاقبته النصر والفتح، فكذلك ينبغي أن تكون خاتمة المرء بالإحسان إلى نفسه بتوبة وافية كاملة مستوجبة للفوز في الدارين. نسأل الله تعالى التوفيق لنا ولكم. وهذه وقفات مختصرة، فما كان من صواب فمن الله، وما كان من خطأ فمني ومن الشيطان، واستغفر الله العظيم، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم، وجزاكم الله خيرا. وأستأذنكم، وإن شاء الله يترجم أخونا أبو حذيفة جزاكم الله خيرا.
شيخ عبد الله حفظه الله تعالى، went on by saying that there is a very important point that we need to pay attention to. We have just learned that it is upon us not to just limit ourselves to the apparent meaning that is encompassed in the ayats of the Quran. But we also have to look at these meanings by looking at the general meanings that come about in the Sharia of Islam, as well as the context of those ayat and other indications which are linked to the revelation of this ayat. But people have fallen into extremes concerning this matter. So people are on an extreme of exaggeration or on an extreme of shortcoming, and some people are upon the middle path. So first of all, Shaykh started talking about the people who fall into exaggeration. Those people, they mention meanings concerning the ayat which are not encompassed in the meaning of the ayah in itself. So the clear meaning of the ayah does not it's impossible for you to make that sort of interpretation from it. Second, there is no general meaning from the Sharia which is supporting this strange tafsir that they brought about concerning those ayat. And thirdly, there is no context or no other indication from the Sharia, from other ahadith or things that happened around the revelation of this ayah, which kind of support this strange meaning that they have brought into it. Look here how Abdullah ibn Abbas said what he said concerning the tafsir of this surah, meaning that it meant the fact that Allah is informing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of the closeness of his death. And Umar agreed with him, and also yani what has been reported in the hadith of Aisha and Fatima. First of all, we see that the lafz meaning, the literal meaning of the ayah in itself, as a matter of fact, leaves us space to have that sort of interpretation from it. Secondly, general meanings of the Sharia show this. Thirdly, the fact that many qara'in indications around it indicate that sort of meaning. Like we mentioned, the fact that it's the last surah which was sent down at once completely, and that Fatima, or that Aisha said what she said, and that Fatima said what she said. All of this is supporting this meaning that Abdullah ibn Abbas said and that Umar was supporting. Now, what some people do is that they make meanings enter into these wordings of the Quran, which are extremely, like we say in Arabic, mukallafa, meaning that you have to make extremely strange interpretations and deforming the original meanings and so on and so forth, for you as to finally manage to get this meaning that you wanted out of this ayah. And Sheikh is explaining that this is the way of the people of misguidance, the people of Hawa, like the Shia and the Sufia, but also other people from the people of Al-Almaniya, the people who are philosophers and people who are going too far, putting their own mental abilities above the Quran and the Sunnah. And one of those tafsir which were famous for that sort of error and misguidance was the tafsir of Al-Ishari, and the ulama have warned against reading that sort of tafsir. And what happened in that is that the people who have followed this way, we see nowadays they have fallen into just give me a second. Naam. In our present day and time, you've seen that some of the people who followed this way started giving a very scientific interpretation of the Quran. But this interpretation that they have brought up is not in accordance with the three conditions that we have mentioned, meaning that the wording of the ayah must leave you a possibility to give that sort of interpretation. Secondly, that the general meanings of the Sharia indicate this meaning. Thirdly, that you have qara'in, outside indications which support you in that tafsir. So you see that nowadays, for example, you have al-Ghamari or al-Ghimari, and the people who are upon the same way as him, they have started interpreting the Quran according to scientific discoveries of our generation. So they started saying, for example, that the Quran mentioned the fact that there would be plains, and the Quran mentioned the plains yani in a very clear way, and also mentioned tanks and war tanks that they were mentioned in the Quran, and so on and so forth. And you see that to come about with those sort of tafsir, they have to make extremely strange interpretations which are not at all understood from the meaning of the ayah in itself, nor is the Sharia supporting that sort of meaning the general meanings of the Sharia, nor do they have any sort of outside indications from other ahadith or context or anything like that which is supporting this tafsir that they are bringing about. And then on the other hand, you have some people who stubbornly refuse to get out of the apparent meaning from the ayah. Even though you see that there are meanings, that some ulama have mentioned other meanings than just the apparent meaning from the ayah, based upon what we have mentioned, meaning the general meanings of the Sharia, outside indications, and the fact that the ayah in itself leaves you space to have that sort of interpretation. So those people started negating some things which are from the basics of our religion. And as Sheikh Shanqiti rahimahullahu ta'ala gave an example for this. He mentioned the ayah of the Quran, the mothers breastfeed their children hawlain, meaning 2 years. As a summary of the meaning of hawlain, we say 2 years. Kamilain, two complete years. For the ones who want to complete breastfeeding. And he said, look at this ayah and look at the same time at the ayah where Allah says, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. And the carrying of the baby, meaning the time where the woman is pregnant, the time of pregnancy, as well as breastfeeding, lasts for 30 months. So Sheikh Shanqiti rahimahullah ta'ala said that the Sahaba and whoever was after them understood from this ayah that the least or the lowest time that a pregnancy could last was 6 months. And whoever turns away from this understanding, from those two ayah, then he has left out what indicators have indicated and what the general meaning has has supported from the Sharia. And by doing so, he might go astray in issues, and he might lead other people astray, and he might not be aware of it. So the middle path in that sort of matters is to follow what we have mentioned. And this is extremely important, because going out of this way represents a big danger, either by opening the door too widely to wrong interpretations or by closing the door for correct interpretations to be made from this ayat of the Quran. Then finally, Shaykh Abdullah saying, we mentioned three benefits that we gain from this surah in a summarized way. First of all, the istihbab, meaning the fact that it's recommended to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to ask Him for forgiveness in times where the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down upon you, meaning when Allah bestows His bounties upon you, because this is from the meanings of the ubudiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worship and enslavement towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this praising and asking for forgiveness is happening either by way of speech or by way of behavior, or like we say, lisanul hal. We can translate this as being body language, but it is more than that. It's meaning by the actions, the way you behave and all of those things. And this is why it was authentically reported that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened a place for him, meaning by giving him victory over a place, then you would see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would enter this place by lowering his head. And this is as to avoid pride and pride and vanity. And this was reported, or like this was the case in the victory of Mecca. Meditate about this. Meditate how when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Mecca after all those years of conflict, how he was humble, lowering his head. And then meditate. This will make you understand the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he said in the Quran, وَلَا تَفْرَحْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. I read out for you the translation of this of the meaning of this verse. Do not exult with riches being ungrateful to Allah. Verily Allah does not like those who exult with riches being ungrateful to Allah. Which is the ayah number 76 in the 28th surah Al-Qasas. Naam, it's from the story of Qarun, when the people told him not to be pride about the bounties that Allah had bestowed upon him. So Shaykh Abdullah is asking us to meditate about this. And because through this, reminding ourselves of this meaning will inshallah ta'ala make us understand humbleness in the moments where Allah is bestowing His mercies upon us. Second benefit that Shaykh Abdullah is mentioning, hafizahullah ta'ala, is the fact that the human being should always remind himself of his own shortcoming in his matters. And especially in times like the times of when the help of Allah comes and the time where you are in power and in well-being. Because by reminding your own self of your shortcoming, this will prevent you from falling into kibr, into pride and vanity. And it will also prevent you from falling into putting yourself above the people. Because verily, the slave looks at his own self in two ways. First of all, he looks at his own shortcomings. He looks at his shortcomings while Allah has made everything easy for him. Allah has requested very little from him in his Sharia, in his religion. But with that, the human being has to understand, by looking at his own self, he will understand that although what is requested from him is very easy and very light, he is still shortcoming in that. And at the same time, he looks at all the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him, and how he keeps on bestowing more and more upon him. And all of, and although all of this, you see that by looking at your own self, you will see your own self falling into shortcoming. But with all of that shortcoming, you see that still Allah does not cut off from you His bounties, but continues bestowing them upon you. So this will, by meditating upon those meanings, you will start getting the ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, meaning that you will start understanding and feeling the greatness of Allah, the greatness of your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will make you firm upon His religion, and this will make you keep this will keep yourself away from evil, and this will call your own, you will by doing so you will call your own self to al-istiqama, firmness and straightness upon your religion, and this will lead you inshallah ta'ala to reaching a good end in your life. And the third and last benefit that Shaykh Abdullah is mentioning is the istihbab, the fact that it's recommended to remind yourself at the end of your deeds, remind yourself of at-tawbah, of repentance. Because this is from the signs of ending your deeds in a good way, by repenting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After any sort of striving that you might have had, or difficulty and hardship that you might have encountered while striving in the way of khair, you see that the end of this is, like is mentioned in the surah, An-Nasr wal-Fath, the rescue of Allah and the Fath, the victory. After many, many years of striving, finally comes An-Nasr and Al-Fath. So it is upon the person to meditate about this meaning and to understand the importance of having a good ending in every one of his deeds, and to end his deeds with al-ihsan, with well-doing. And by doing ihsan to your own self with tawbah, a complete tawbah, by respecting the conditions of tawbah, which will bring about the sa'ada, meaning your happiness in both this life and the hereafter. And Shaykh is saying, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq. And he's saying, whatever was correct in this speech, then it was from Allah. And whatever was a mistake was from me and from Shaytan. And we say, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.